Well, good evening. Good evening? Maybe? No response? Everybody's sleeping right after that great dinner. If you missed out, you missed out. Well, it is a pleasure to see each of you in God's house tonight. If we'll stand together, turn in the yellow or blue missions hymn book to hymn number 8. Hymn number 8. If you've got your poor vision like me, you may have to hold it real close to be able to read it. On the first. I'll tell to all that God is love, for the world has never known the great compassion of His love for the wayward and the lost, till the whole world knows, till the whole world knows. I will shout and sing of Christ my King, till the whole world knows. Is that a new song to many? Really? I thought everyone knew that one. Well, alrighty. Well, let's sing on the second, and whenever we get to that chorus, I will shout and sing, let's shout. Pretty original, huh? On the second, let's sing it out. I'll tell of mercy's boundless love, like waters of the sea, that covers every sin of men, His salvation full and free, till the whole world knows, till the whole world knows. I will shout and sing of Christ my King, till the whole world knows. Now we're going to keep going a little bit. When you get to that shout, remember, we have the privilege to shout and sing of Christ my King. We have that privilege. God did not dictate it to angels. He didn't say, I'll cover it. He said, I want you to shout and sing of Christ my King. So let's really shout it out there. Let's sing on the last. Eternal glory is the goal.
Eternal glory is the goal that awaits the sons of light. Eternal darkness, black as death, for the children of the night. Till the whole world knows, till the whole world knows. I will shout and sing of Christ my King, till the whole world knows.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. Well, it's bad I didn't know it either, so that's okay. Well, it's good to see you this evening. Trust you had a good day. We had a tremendous meeting last night and thoroughly enjoyed the services this morning, the sessions this morning. And we're looking forward to God meeting with us tonight. I'm glad you was able to be here. And we trust that God is going to do some tremendous things in our heart and lives tonight. Please pray for Brother Hudson, as he'll be coming into the pulpit in a little bit. In the meanwhile, it's good to see you. It's good to have you. What I'm going to ask you to do is go ahead and sit down for a moment.
Excuse me. I'll be right back.
I'm going to ask some ladies to come down to the front and my wife to come to the front as well. And this is not in alphabetical order, I don't believe. Pardon? No, I can tell that right out of the gate. Jennifer Chalando and Ann Williams, Crini Gooday, Robin Fafuena, and Susie Hudson and Myra Johnson are in the nursery, so we've got them at work. We'll take care of them in a little bit. And Charlotte Rowan. And what the go ahead, Marcia. The ladies have prepared some things for these gals. Some of these are missionary wives from our own missionaries, Ms. Robin Fafuena and Crini Gooday. But this is just a gift from our ladies. And y'all, we appreciate you ladies and what you put up with and married to these missionaries. I'm sure glad my wife's not married to a missionary. There we go. Amen. Thank you, ladies. I mentioned we had some great sessions this morning, and I'd encourage you, tomorrow morning as well, beginning at 9 a.m., we'll have some more teaching from the Word of God. Milton Martin is planning to be here with us in the morning. Also, Bruce Martin is due back early tomorrow, but even now, please pray for Provy and her family. Provy Martin and her family. The funeral for her mother is to begin in about 25 minutes Eastern time. So pray for them and for their travels back to Fort Worth. Bruce and David will be traveling early tomorrow, and then Provy is scheduled to return on Saturday. So Brother Milton and Bruce will be teaching tomorrow, and some guy named Jim Turner as well, but don't worry about him. All right, I can't think of any other announcements, but we're going to ask the ushers to come. We'll go ahead and do it right now, get it over with, and get the painful stuff out of the way. We'll receive an offering this evening, and the offerings are to help with our missions love offerings for these fine folks as they've come to be with us, so please be mindful of that. To give generously, we want to take good care of them. And we sure appreciate them as they've come from far and wide to be with us this evening. We'll be hearing from Martin Chalando in just a few minutes. So I'll pray for him as well. Father, we bow before you tonight, and we're so grateful for the grace of God. So grateful for the greatest missionary that ever lived, your own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, this evening that you might be pleased to enter in and do tremendous things in our midst. We pray that your word would go forth in power. You'd give it liberty, Father, and accomplish exactly what you would order for it. We're grateful, Father, for our dear church members and, Father, for the opportunity for you to work in our hearts this week. We trust that you would thrust the cause of Christ and missions forward at Metropolitan Baptist Church, that indeed we would be busy about your work till Jesus comes. Please bless this offering. Bless the gift and the giver, Lord, for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's. I hope I pick a song we know this time. Let's stand again. Turn to hymn number 37. Hymn number 37. The song is titled, Give Them the Gospel, to the tune of Tell Me the Story. Everyone knows Tell Me the Story of Jesus, right? I would hope so. Let's sing on the first.
Give them the gospel. Why should they die in their sin? Tell me, oh, tell them of Jesus. They are so burdened within. Long have they waited in darkness, waited for someone to go. Long have they sought in their blindness, Jesus the Savior to know. Point them to Jesus the Savior, Jesus who suffered and died. Mountain of Jesus the Savior, Jesus who suffered and died.
So good we had to say it twice. I messed up. Let's go to the beginning this time. When we get back after the chorus, let's start on the second verse for my sake, right? On the second.
Take them, oh, take them the message. Why should they longer despair? Only the Savior can help them banish their sorrows and care. Go then and tell them of Jesus. It was for them He was slain. Give them, oh, give them the gospel. Let not their cry be in vain. Tell them, oh, tell them the story. Story of Christ crucified. Point them to Jesus the Savior. Jesus who suffered and died.
Hey man, that is a good song. We'll have to sing that even after Missions Month. Right? Alright, let's turn one last time. Turn to hymn number 23. Hymn number 23. Real small font. You gotta get that book real close for this one. Let's sing it out on the first.
Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white to harvest are. And God is calling volunteers to serve Him near and far. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me. And may I nobly do my part to win that soul for Thee.
Let's speed up a little as we sing on the last. I will be true, my Lord to serve, who died to set me free. Think about that. Jesus died to set us free. We lived in, I know I'm preaching here, I gotta stop myself sometimes. But, you know, we lived hopeless. We were hopeless. We messed up. There was nothing we could do. Straight for hell. I mean, it's like in Revelation when they're crying, they have the book with the seven seals, and they're crying saying, who is worthy? Who is worthy? When we were in sin, we're crying saying, what can I do? I'm going straight to hell. There's nothing I can do. But then Jesus came. That man, just an average, ordinary man in the average time who came. He seemed average. But He came to die for our sins. Praise the Lord. That never gets old, and it should never get old with you either. Let's sing it out on the last.
I will be true, my Lord to serve, who died to set me free. I'll consecrate my life for Him and ever faithful be. Lord, lay my soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I nobly do my part to win that soul for Thee.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Well, we have the privilege of having the Chalando family with us. And I'm not going to explain anything about them. I'm going to let him do that. So, Brother Chalando, you come and introduce your ministry, your video, and we'll look forward to hearing.
Yes, sir. Amen, my brother. Amen. Thank you, Brother Turner. We are certainly delighted to be here at Metropolitan. We've been looking forward to it. We're the Chalando family. We're out of Hillcrest Baptist Church in El Paso, Texas, and we're going to Zambia, Africa. This is my wife over here, Jennifer, and then we have four children. We have Gabby, Hannah, Isaiah, and Jenna in the nursery. My wife says she has five children, including me. She does have to put up with me. So we are going to Zambia, Africa. I am a Zambia national, born and raised. Lived there until I was 18 years old. Lived in the United States about 16 years. And I came here to study business. I came here to pursue the American dream. And I told God, I said, you know, Lord, you know, I'll do anything you want me to do except go into full-time ministry. I said that to God, and I figured, you know, we had some, you know, an understanding between the two of us. And as you can tell, I'm standing here today. That didn't quite pan out. The Lord has called us to go back to Zambia. And in a little bit, you can see the video here about the nation of Zambia. The video says the population is about 13 million. There's about 14.5 right now. The national language there in Zambia is, the official language is English, but Zambia does have about 73 other dialects, tribal languages. It has nine provinces and has different parts of the country that you go to. They speak different languages. And Zambia is predominantly Christian. You have, you're going to hear in the video about David Livingston. Died in Zambia, and he came there in the 19th century and kind of introduced the gospel there, but didn't do much. But that was the introduction of that. And then Zambia is a former colony of England, and so therefore the English came in and they brought the United Church of England, and that's what most Zambians are. And when I grew up under that. My mom took me there. We went to church every Sunday. Not one time did I hear that if I died, I would go to hell. I heard that if I was baptized and I was a good boy, I'd go to heaven. Until I was about 16 years old. Zambia is considered, quote unquote, a Christian nation. Therefore, they say that they have no restrictions against the practice of Christianity. However, the government is no longer allowing new missionaries into the country. Now, to go back to my salvation testimony, when Zambia became a Christian nation, they started to allow religious broadcasting on TV. One time as a 16-year-old sitting there watching this program, a man came up and he said, at the end of his cast, he said, if you die today and you're sitting out there and you die today and you do not know Christ your personal Savior, you will go to hell. And I said to myself, now why would God send me to hell? You know, I go to church on Sunday, I haven't done anything bad, I haven't killed anybody, robbed a bank, none of that. Why would God send me to hell? So I figured, you know what, Lord, since you're God and you're all powerful, well, why don't you just send somebody to come tell me? You know, and I figured, you know, we have an understanding there. That's all right. 2 weeks later, an independent Baptist missionary moved in two doors down from my house. And as a result of that, I got to hear the gospel and I got saved. Not only did I get saved, my entire family got saved. And so that's just the obedience of one man to the Great Commission. And as a result of that, I am standing here today speaking to you and about to share a ministry that the Lord has burdened us for Zambia. I'll talk a little bit more after the video. Right now, we'll go ahead and have that video.
Welcome to Zambia, the real Africa. A land of friendly people, filled with abundant wildlife and spectacular scenery. Zambia is a large country of 293,000 square miles, slightly larger than the state of Texas, and is located in southern Africa, where it is surrounded by seven countries. Zambia's population of 13 million is mostly concentrated in the cities, making it one of Africa's most urbanized countries. What this simply means is that Zambia has a high concentration of its population living in cities. It's because of this that the cities are filled with street markets, street kids, and food vendors. Zambia is also the home of the well-known Victoria Falls, which was named after Queen Victoria by Scottish missionary David Livingstone. It is through this land that this early missionary trekked and uttered the famous words, "I see the smoke of a thousand villages that are yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ." Though these early missionaries successfully introduced the gospel to Zambia, most Zambians are still living in the darkness of customs and traditions. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Since being declared a Christian nation, the country has seen an influx of religious organizations which have planted their works across Zambia, prompting the Zambian government to shut the doors to any new foreign religious works. Nevertheless, because of high poverty, many Zambians continue to fall prey to these goodwill missions, and even the growing Hindu and Muslim faiths. Bringing the gospel to a lost people and teaching them through the local New Testament Baptist Church is our task. Baptist churches are virtually non-existent in Zambia. Most religious Zambians are Pentecostal, Church of England, Jehovah's Witness, or Catholic. Most of these churches have incorporated the Zambian traditions into their church doctrine, thus pleasing the people. What Zambia needs is some strong, doctrinally sound Baptist churches and pastors who are not afraid of preaching the infallible, inerrant word of truth. Our ministry will be in the city of Ndola. Ndola is located in the Copperbelt province of Zambia and has a population of 500,000 people, of which 84% are under the age of 18. More than a third of this population is unemployed, bringing an increase to crime, teen pregnancy, street kids, prostitution, and HIV/AIDS cases. The city of Ndola reports the most HIV cases per year, more than any other Zambian city. Young families are being destroyed due to the spread of HIV, and the life expectancy in Ndola has dropped to 45 years. Ndola, like any African city, has its share of social and economic problems. Our duty while in this city is not just to be a place of refuge and shelter, but also to bring the lost and the hurting to Christ, who is our refuge and our salvation. Our prayer is to reach families for Christ and disciple them in the Word of God so they can reject the ungodly traditions and immoral practices which are part of the reason for the rampant spreading of AIDS, killing households. Our purpose is to evangelize every soul that the Lord permits, disciple converts, train national pastors, and plant independent Baptist churches across the nation of Zambia. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." We encourage you to partner in prayer and support with the Chilando family as they endeavor to reach the nation of Zambia for Christ.
Amen. As you heard in the video, it said there that the government is not allowing new foreign religious works, and that is accurate. And so you said, how are you going to get in? Well, they will allow you, if you're coming into an already existing work and you're restricted at that work only, if you're coming in under recommendation of a national pastor, and you're also limited only to that church and the helping of that ministry, or if you're a Zambia national like me, you can get in and go do whatever you want. Now, you can also, as a Zambia national, in the ministry that we're doing, is we can recommend others as co-laborers, and since our work is not restricted in one area, we can say these are co-laborers, then they're going to work in other areas that we're planning on taking the work and the gospel. And so therefore, in that case, we hold the door open for other missionaries to come into Zambia and preach the gospel. Amen. You know, and that's just one thing that we found out when my wife and I went down there last year. Missionaries were really excited. They were like, they didn't know how, what was going to happen. And I didn't know, you know, the Lord just works in mysterious ways. And the other thing that you heard in there, you see, you obviously you're thinking about, and I get this question a lot, about the AIDS problem. You say Southern Africa is an AIDS problem and the people. Yes, it is there. And as a result, there's a lot of street kids when you go out into the streets. And you have a lot of children in, that are keeping themselves in the homes, no parents. So therefore, a lot of orphans. And, you know, these kids are out there, you know, the government doesn't have any programs to take care of them or anything. They just leave them out to family. Family doesn't want them because they've got enough of the other kids from maybe the husband's side or the wife's side or however it is. You know, so these children are left out there, you know, and some of them just die out on the street. You know, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear that the Lord, you know, Jesus died for them, you know. You know, I remember as growing up as a child, you know, not hearing the truth. You know, I sit there, you know, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, you know, I am debtor both to the Greek, to the Greek and to the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise. You know, and then he goes on to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, I sit there and I say, you know what? I will go to Zambia because I know that there is a boy, a girl, man, or woman, just like I was, who is waiting for someone to come and give them the gospel. You know, and our desire is to go to Zambia, plant independent Baptist churches, train Zambia nationals to take on those churches, go out and evangelize and reach as many Zambians as we can. As the Lord allows us, as long as the Lord allows us to leave, we have no time limit on how long we're going to be there. We plan on being there unless, you know, God uproots us himself. You know, and that's just our desire. Our desire is just to get out there and do the work of the Great Commission. And I know some of you might have questions about other things. Just did not have all the time to explain that. But if you do have questions, feel free to ask us and we'll be able to answer any questions that you might have, whether it's about animals or land or cost of living and all those things and stuff. We started our deputation in February. We've been at it about, I don't know, what's that, 7 months, 8 months? And we've been able to raise about 60% of our support. We're looking at being in Zambia, Lord willing, next summer. And so we certainly appreciate your prayer as we're out on the road. And right now, the big request will be, as we're getting to the other end of our deputation, or rather our support, we're praying for wisdom concerning accommodation. You have to get accommodation there at least 6 months in advance. Then you have to pay a year's rent ahead of time. And rent averages between $800 to $1,500 a month. And so we're just praying. And the Lord has called us there, and the Lord will take care of it. We're not worried about that. We're just, you know, we're just praying for a wisdom concerning that, and you know, the Lord putting the right people in our path. So we certainly appreciate your prayers, and thank you very much, Pastor. Amen.
The song I'm going to sing tonight is called The Mission. Most of y'all have probably heard it before. It's a Steve Green song that he's made famous. And most of you know me here. You know that I've surrendered to ministry last year in October. Got to watch those missions conference. They'll make a missionary out of you. But one of the things that God's been working on me lately is that I've been waiting on the Lord to point and shoot me in the right direction that I think He's going to lead me in out there. And I've been neglecting my home. Not my home, but my home here in Fort Worth where I've been at. So one of the lines that's in this song is across the street or around the world. And I've sung this song before, I always sing it across the street or around the world. And I forget that part that says across the street. So pray for me over the next few months and years as God does direct me in the way He wants me to go, that I don't neglect the across the street. So please listen to the words as I sing. There's a call going out across the land in every nation, a call to all who swear allegiance to the cross of Christ, a call to true humility, to live our lives responsibly, to deepen our devotion to the cross at any price. Let us then be sober, moving only in the Spirit, as aliens and strangers in a hostile foreign land. The message we're proclaiming is repentance and forgiveness, the offer of salvation to the dying race of man. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of the mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. As a candle is consumed by the passion of the flame, spilling light unsparingly throughout a darkened room, let us burn to know Him deeper than our surface flaming bright. We'll radiate His passions and blaze with holy light. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of the mission, the strength from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of the mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name.
Well,
Well, you know, the honeymoon's over when the introduction stops. It is a blessing to be here again tonight. If you take your Bible, please turn to Matthew chapter 16. I thank the Lord. I told Colton earlier today, I heard the old preacher say one day, two things made him want to preach. One was bad preaching and one was good preaching. I came away from that service this morning wanting to preach. And it wasn't from bad preaching. We heard some stuff this morning. I thank the Lord for it. And I urge you, if you're free, be here. The Lord shows up. My youngest son is a member of Trinity Baptist Church in Austin, Texas. Brother David Burkholder is the pastor there. Several years ago, he called me one Sunday morning and said, "Dad, the church burned up last night." And so I got on the phone, got a hold of Brother David, and I said, "Brother, I'm sorry to hear about your church." He said, "Nothing wrong with my church." He said, "In fact, they're gathering out on the parking lot to have services this morning." We all make that mistake of what the church is. Tonight I want to preach on what makes the church different. We are a peculiar people. Peter said that. I asked my wife one time. We were trying to build a work down in Alvin, Texas. I asked my wife, "How did we get all the weirdos?" And she said, "Well, they always say that the church takes on the personality of the pastor." So there you are. I want to begin reading in verse number 13. Why don't we stand, honor the Word of God. Matthew 16:13 says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.'" I believe I'll stop reading right there. Brother Shannon Eaton, my friend, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church over in east side of Fort Worth, would you lead us as we pray, please, brother? Amen. You can be seated. I've got a list of things that make the church different as you find them in this passage. Jesus asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I want to say men are still saying this, that, the other about the Savior. Some are saying that He's one of the prophets. Some are saying that He is a Son of God. Some are saying that He's a great teacher. Some are saying that He lived a righteous life. All those things are true, but none of those things define who He is. So I want to say, first of all, He said, whom do men say? They said, some say. It amazes me how people that don't know anything about the Bible want to come up to you and say, here's what I think, preacher. Some say. And they defined what some were saying in three men, John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jeremiah. I'm not going to chase that rabbit, but if you look at those men, every one of them were individuals who did not stand in popular opinion. They were not politically correct in the day they lived. In fact, every one of them were almost loners in their service to the Lord. They were outcasts of the society that they lived in. Men looked at Him and said, that's who He is. Isaiah said that there is no form or comeliness that men should desire Him. No beauty. No popularity. When we get down to Jesus, I found out something. Some of you men may already have found this out. You can go out there on your job. You can talk about the church. It's okay. You can talk about Christianity. It's okay. A religion is okay. But when you begin to talk about Jesus, it gets awfully silent. The conversation comes to a halt. It makes a difference. You can go down to the Congress and pray, but if you drop the name of Jesus in the middle of it, it's not right. James Alexander Stewart said this, that evangelist between World War I and World War II, who stood in the shadows of the communist regimes and preached the gospel, saw great revivals break out in Europe. He said, any dead fish can float downstream. It'll take a live one if you go against the current. That's what they said. Then he said, but whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? And they gave him two answers. Peter gave him two answers. He said, thou art the Christ. We believe that thou art the Christ. When we say that, it's not just a title. That word Christ is the Greek word that interprets the Old Testament Hebrew word of Messiah. Every Jew knew exactly what Peter had said. Some of us don't understand it. Well, what he said was, the Anointed One. Hey, and there's never been but one. You can tell your Mormon friends that there's just one. There's just one, my friend. He was the only begotten Son of God. He was the Son of God in eternity before the world ever spun into existence. In fact, the Bible says that He was there when it all came to pass. Without Him was not one thing made that was made, but in eternity, He was already anointed as the Christ, the only Savior of the world. And that won't float in this multicultural, multi-religious society that we live in. When we say the Anointed One, we're saying what He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's what we believe about Him. Secondly, He said, not just the Christ, but He said, the Son of the living God. That doesn't say anointed one, but that says authoritative one. Over there in Matthew chapter number 28, verse 17, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I was talking to Brother Don last night, and he was talking about a revival of Mariology in South Louisiana. We've kind of sugar-coated Catholicism in America. I could take you down to some places. I've been in Mexico and show you the reality of Catholicism. Some of you missionaries are going places where you'll see the reality of it. Brother Don lives in an area that is very dominated by the Catholic Church. I read here a while back that Billy Graham called Pope John Paul the greatest Christian of our generation. I read here a while back that the motivation of John Paul as a pope was to make Mary co-redemptress with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometime y'all just read 1 Timothy 3:18. He said, there's just one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Thank God He has authority in heaven. Thank God when we pray, we can access the throne of grace and find mercy to help in every hour of need because He has authority in heaven. He is the authoritative one. He has ability, my friend. We as missionary, we just heard a missionary saying, I've got to have this. Then he said, I'm not too worried about it. I'm not fretting over it. I'm not losing any sleep over it because God's in charge. Hey, He is the authoritative one. He can make the mountain move when He needs to move. So our beliefs about the Savior make us different. And Jesus says in verse 17, you didn't get that out of Reader's Digest or Newsweek, but you got it by divine revelation. It is the Holy Ghost of God. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we had a session on this in our college class a couple of weeks ago, and just thrilled my soul all over again. He says in verse number 9, as is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, neither did enter the heart of man what things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. I used to preach that was heaven. I used to, every time I'd read that verse, I'd think about heaven and think about, but it's not heaven. Look at verse 10. Y'all read, get it in context. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Hey, by the way, when he wrote that letter, he was writing to the most carnal church that's mentioned in the Bible. But it was a church. It was a local New Testament church. It was a Bible-believing church. It was a foundational church built on the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote it to that church, and he said, God has revealed him unto us Down in verse 13, he said, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom speaketh, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We was talking about your introduction a while ago, brother. How you got into this thing of mission conference and Bible conference. Hey, it'd do us good to come back to the old-fashioned Bible conferences where Brother Don, we come together and just preach a book, preach it all week long, or preach a topic, preach it all week long. Get everything, squeeze all the juice out of it. Get everything God has for us out of that passage of Scripture. Let the Holy Ghost of God reveal some things unto us that we haven't got, you know, we're fat, dumb, and happy. We just haven't got a hold of it yet. He said, you didn't think that up, Peter. And it's not your intellect that gave you that, but it was revealed to you by divine revelation. The Father revealed it unto you. Our beliefs. We could spend all night on that. Then our building makes the church different. See, he's going to say in verse number 18, if I could get back to the text, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. That word literally means a little throwing stone. Any kid in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, or Louisiana knows exactly what he was talking about. That's those little skipping stones where you go out there on the pond or the lake and you find that little rock about so big and it has to be flat and you can fling it and get about three or four hops out of it and see who can hop it the most. That's the kind of stone he's talking about, a little stone. A throwing stone, maybe a slingshot stone, just a little stone. But then he says, but upon this rock, not the Petra, but the Petros. No, not the Petros, but the Petra. Over there in that Holy Land, there's that city of Petra that is carved out of solid rock. I remember a few years ago when I used to get the Chosen People magazine and they had excavated, found the cornerstone of the temple. They don't have to wonder where the holy place and the most holy place is anymore. That wailing wall was the wailing wall because they were afraid to enter into the holy place. They could come into the congregation, tabernacle of the congregation, but they could not enter the holy place, and so they stopped way short. But they know where it is now because they've excavated those foundations. And you know, science cannot explain how those 200,000 ton stones are laid on solid rock, Mount Moriah, how they were laid there by Solomon, cut somewhere else and brought into. They can't tell you how they got that. But mark this down, my friend. 1,000 years before Jesus, that stone was laid there and is still laying exactly where it was that day. Amen. It's solid rock. He said, on this solid rock, on this rock that is immovable, on this rock, I'll build my church. Yes. Not on you, Peter. Not on those flimsy man-made stones. Not on some little old stone that's going to rot away, but on a solid stone. And y'all will pardon me if I just say he founded the church. And then he filled the church. Acts chapter 2 says on when the day of this verse has always amazed me. On verse, you remember he had said, go wait. Last night we preached about those folks who sat and waited. 10 days they stayed in that upper room. And then Acts chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come." 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. That word Pentecost means 50 days. 40 days he has ministered to his disciples in Galilee and made appearances to over 500 disciples. Now then, he said, "You go and wait, and you'll be endued with the power of God. The Holy Ghost of God is coming upon you. And when he comes, then you will be missionaries across the street and around the world, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Here's the way I do it. Jerusalem is where we are right here. Judea might be Texas. Somebody's got to go to the Samaritans, so we'll go to Oklahoma. And in the uttermost part of the earth. Those Okies love that. He said, "Wait." Now this verse said, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come." Now wait a minute. There's been 2,000 Pentecosts. What are you talking about when the day of Pentecost is? Hey, we've had day after day of Pentecost after day of Pentecost after day of Pentecost. But now the day of Pentecost has fully come. Hey, remember? John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And he's over there in Hebrews, he's going to take the blood of his own sacrifice into a holy place not made with hands. And there God will accept the sacrifice once and for all men, for all time. Hebrews 10:12 says, "When this man had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down." That Pentecost. When that Pentecost comes, and they were all in one accord in one place. Wasn't that what he said to do in that upper room? Wasn't that their theme in the upper room? One accord in one place. There's no telling what would happen in this church tonight if this church came together in one accord in one place. There's just no telling. We talk about missions conference. Buddy, it'd bust out all over Fort Worth before morning if we could get in one accord, in one place, and focus on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ so that He could do what He wants to do in us, through us, and with us. That old song used to say, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down." And then he talked about, in that the chorus that song says, "Mold me, make me, break me, and use me." If we could get in that accord. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues." That's glossa. That is that thing that lays between your teeth. Of fire. "And it sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other dialectos." Not unknown tongues, but known tongues. The miracle was not that they could speak it, but the miracle was that those Jews that were there from all over the world could understand it in their own dialectos. So he founded the church, he filled the church. Over in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 19, he says this, "Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." That puts you and me on the level with Paul and Peter and John and the rest of those saints that have gone on before and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. What I want to say is, He's fashioning His church. It began with His foundation. And then those apostles, you know, Paul said, I have finished my course. And of course, we always give it that athletic term of a runner finishing a race. But maybe it could be a builder laying bricks. You know, a bricklayer lays a course at a time. Paul had laid a pretty good course. I mean, he'd been to Antioch, he'd been to Philippi, he'd been down to Ephesus, he'd been over to Corinth, he'd down to Rome. I mean, he's laying some bricks in the place. There's a pretty good course of living stones laid there. But he said, hey, I'm going to put you right on top of that.
Amen.
I'm going to put you right in there, and you become the habitation of the Holy Ghost. Fashioning His church. Over in chapter 5 of Ephesians, the Bible said He's going to finish His church. He said in verse number 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ. I know, hey, I just taught last week to my hermeneutic class, there's one interpretation of Scripture. There may be many applications. Get a hold of this, men. When He says, husbands, love your wife, that's an application. The interpretation is Christ loved His church. That's the primary interpretation of this whole passage. And He said, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might be holy and without blemish. I wish I could count them one hand or a dozen hands. How many times my wife has said, take that shirt off. It's got a spot on it. It's got a wrinkle in it. It needs to be ironed. Take that thing off. You're not going to church looking like that. That's what He's saying. Remember Grandma? She had set them irons over on. I remember her ironing my granddad's shirt. She had set them irons over on the fire. After a while, she had... Then she'd iron with it. If it didn't, she set it back on the stove again. When she got through ironing, there could be no spot on that shirt. She wanted him to look presentable. Understand this? He said He's washed us with the water of the Word, and He is getting the wrinkles out. Sometimes that's pretty tough. That wrinkle business is tough. But when He gets through with us, there's a glory day when He presents us to... Hey, I don't have time to go there, but Revelation chapter 19 says that His wife comes in her fine linen, white and clean. She has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. She has been washed with the water of the Word. She has been made presentable to her bridegroom. Finishing, well, I got to go on. The builder of the church, not just the building of the church, but the builder of our church makes us different. I don't have time to read all the scripture. Let me just give you one. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4, he says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That word disallowed is going to be repeated several times. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We don't have a We don't have an altar up here where we offer lambs and goats and bulls and calves. But we have a place right here that we come and present ourselves a living sacrifice. We have a place here where we claim the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a place here where we are made acceptable to God through the sacrifice of the Savior. Wherefore is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you which believe he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed is the same as made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Now, this, let me ask you a question, Baptist. I want to ask this to my church. I love my church. I want to ask this to my church. What do y'all think about this book? Is it the Word of God? Or does it contain the Word of God? Amen. It's the Word. It is. It's not just the Word of God, but it is the inspired Word of God. It is the inerrant Word of God. It is the verbal plenary. That is, every word, and the total book is the Word of God. The old preacher said, I believe it from kiver to kiver, and I believe the kiver where it says it's a holy Bible. We believe that, don't we? All right, then let me ask you a question. Is this controversial one, this disallowed one by the disobedient ones? He said they stumble at the word. Have you made up your mind yet that because this is the Word of God, I will obey the Word of God? The kids sing it, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I read and pray and then obey. Not just say amen on Sunday morning. But every day of the week, this Word has become part and fiber of my heart and soul. And all I am or ever want to be, I want it founded and grounded in the Word of God. I'm willing to do whatever you tell me, Lord. I'm willing to be obedient to you. I'm not going to stumble at your word. That's what he said. He said if you stumble at the word, you've disallowed him. Whew. Not too many amens on that. The controversial one, but he's the chosen one. I've already talked about that. I'm not going any further on that. And he's the constructing one. It's him. So our beliefs, our building, our builder, make this church different. Down in verse 18, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to say, our battles make the church different. As far as I can see, the only people in this whole world that fight in hell is the church. Congress is not. Hollywood's not. The school system's not. Our city government's not. The only people in the world. Hey, what makes us different? We stand against this. We stand against this gay marriage issue. We stand against 1.5 million babies aborted every year. We stand against it. We stand against the doctrines of hell that come against us. Our battles make us different. I'm not going to... There's plenty more I could say about that. The confusion of religion. The corrupt Bibles. There's a lot you can talk about. But I want to go to what I really want to talk about. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, be not deceived. Hey, you abortionist. Hey, you homosexual. Hey, you sodomite. Hey, you corrupt Bible peddler. Hey, you deceiver of the sheep and flock of God. You understand this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Jesus said, you're either on my side or their side. You either love me and hate them, or you're with them and you don't love me. You're one or the other. One door and only one, yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside. Which side are you? Our battles make us different. I know we don't like it. It's a lot easier to be a compromiser and straddle a fence. But the Bible does say that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And you can't walk in the world and work with God. Last night we talked about that. So I want to get to where I really want to get to. And I realize we're already halfway done just on introduction. I want to talk about what this mission conference is about. Our business makes us different. I don't know how many times I've had some little lady come up to me and say, Brother Wayne, what do you think that means? And they point to verse 19. Verse 19 says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Over in chapter 18 of Matthew, Jesus gives some definition. We call these the church discipline verses. But look at verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it, the witnesses, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Go over to John chapter 20, verse 23. It even gets more confusing. Whosoever sins, ye remit. Let me back up to verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. What he said was the Great Commission, even so send I you. He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, it's going to be 40 days of witnessing after resurrection, and then it's going to be the 10-day wait and Pentecost. And whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. That's pretty stiff stuff, I know. Now let's go back to to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 gives you seven parables, which describe the kingdom of God. And they describe the nature of the business. You know, it amazes me. I know a few people that are in business. For want of other names, I'll just say Brother C.R. Some of you have known C.R. a lot longer than I have known C.R. You know, he is well capable of being retired today. I know how old he is. But you know, he goes down there every day to his business. and he runs his business. People who are concerned about their business work at their business, right? And I don't know how many people are hanging on to CR's business for their living, but if he didn't run his business, there'd be some people go hungry in a week or two because he didn't take care of his business. It amazes me that in the most serious business that there is in this world, the church business, how lax we are. We got the idea that if I can make a fifth Sunday and two or three other services during the month, if I can be there for the picnic, if I can get there when it's barbecue time, if I can get there when it's fun time, if I can get there when the singing group is there, that's about all that I owe God. Hey, the problem is we forgot the seriousness of our business. We are so slack and lax on our business. A few years ago, I had a picture. I don't know what happened to it. Probably the devil hid it from me, but I had a picture that I clipped out of a magazine of Pat Boone baptizing somebody in his swimming pool. Yesterday, I had a young man call me from another city. Seemed like God put those young preachers in my path. And he had called me and he wanted my opinion. He had had a boy come out of a home church, wanted to join his church. And he said, Brother Wayne, he said, I told him he's going to have to be baptized to come into our church. He said, what do you think about that? I think we are a peculiar people. I think what we believe about the doctrines of this Scripture are important. I believe God has given us a special business. And I'm going to talk about it in a minute. But don't you understand the urgency of taking care of our business? That's what this mission conference is about. It's amazing to me that Brother John gets up there and talking about going across the street. I've had it on my heart all day. Hey, there's no use us putting on more missionaries if we're not going to go out here and win Fort Worth. We're not going to go and get our Jerusalem together. We've become hypocrites. It's easy to put a few dollars in the plate, soothe our conscience, and do nothing for Him. But we have a urgent business. Last night I made a mistake on something I said. John 4:35, Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Sometime this year, I don't know the date, but sometime this year, we rolled over 7 billion people population in the world today. You understand this? That there are more people living today than have ever lived in all the generations that passed us. Think about that. Brother Martin got up here and talked about that 25-year-old median age in Zambia. I'll just give you the facts as best I could figure it. I'm not good in arithmetic, but I did best I could. 7 billion people during this hour. A city as big as the city I live in, Azle, Texas, will die. 14,400 people will die this hour while I preach. And that amounts to 240 every minute going out into a devil's hell. 4 every second that won't ever hear the gospel again. While We have the truth. All is sin and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The heart of a man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? By one man sin of the world, death by sin. Now death is passed on all men, for that all is sin. The wages of sin is still death. We got that down. We know that. We all got a 4-point Roman road somewhere around, or 5 that we can say or pass out. We know that. And 3 times in Mark chapter 9, Jesus said that they're going to a place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, a place of literal fire. Hell is a real place. We know that. And let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God, for God is not tempted, neither tempteth he any man. But every one of us are tempted when we're drawn aside of our own lust and enticed. And lust, when it's conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, always brings forth death. You're not going to wink at God and get by. I got a bunch of more verses. We're sinners by our action. We're sinners by nature. And David said, "And sin did my mother conceive me." And he wasn't talking about the sin of his mother, but he was talking about his conception and birth. He said in 58:3 of Psalms that they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Sinners. And I just gave you John 4:35. The fields are white to harvest right now. 7 billion people. Zambia, Cuba, Mexico, and Texas are waiting on somebody to tell them the truth. But we're not taking care of our business. It's an urgent business. He has said to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we're just not doing it. Somebody said to me today that fundamentalism, that's independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists, nary word of literature is what they used to say. We don't say that anymore. But somebody said fundamentalism has failed. I'll tell you what hadn't failed. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has not failed. If what has failed is our work to preach the gospel to every creature. That's what's failed. Hey, Paul and his generation turned the whole world upside down with the gospel. They weren't ashamed of the gospel. But we have somehow went to sleep on the gospel. So let's talk about the nature of the business. 7 parables in Matthew 13 talk about the kingdom of heaven. He said in verse 11, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And he begins to lay out the kingdom of heaven. He begins with the sower. And he talks about the principles of the sower. You know those principles. The seed is the word. The field is the world. And he's sowing seed on good ground and stony ground and by the side of the road ground, and there's shallow ground, and very little ground produces fruit. That's the, a lot of seed sown produces a little bit of what he's going to say. He's going to explain it. And he said that he's going to say that it represents the souls. We're living in this day of grace. Jeremiah chapter 6 says the day goes away. The shadows are lengthened out on our field today. That day is going. Hey, you don't have to be very smart to know Jesus must come quickly. You must realize that all of these things going on in the world today are pointing to the soon coming of our Savior. And Titus said, you better be looking for Him. You better be, while you're doing all this other stuff, you better be looking for Him. Man. Jesus said, in a day you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Yes, he describes Noah and the day of Noah and the day of Lot as the descriptions of His coming, a day when they marry and are given their marriage and eat and drink and be merry and think not about tomorrow. Then He said, suddenly, as a thief in the night. Hey, that trump could sound before we get through this service tonight. He'd be right on time. the day's going away. He says the day of sowing and reaping. Then he says down in verse number somewhere here. And 24 and following. Look at 25. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. He said in the middle of the wheat is a bunch of stuff growing that looks like wheat, but it's not wheat. It's called tares. He said, don't go in there and try to jerk them up. In 1917, Dr. George W. Truett, at his anniversary of his yearly anniversary of the church, they said they thought he was through. He didn't get through till around 1940. But they thought he was through, and they said, well, if you had one thing that you could do over in your ministry, what would it be? He thought a little bit, and he said, if there was one thing that I wish was different in my ministry, I just wish I could know that 70% of my church was saved. In 1970, 100 years ago, George W. Truett was saying that less than 70% of his church was saved. What he was saying is there was tares among the wheat. They look like wheat. They act like wheat. But they're not wheat. And he said, leave them alone. One of these days, the angels will come, we'll bind them in bundles and cast them into a lake of fire that burns forever and ever. Right. Hey, you're not fooling anybody but yourself. Yeah. You're going through the motion, you got a little religion, but you're not saved. You need to get it fixed. Uh-huh. It's only Jesus that can save you. Baptist Church can't save you. Being baptized, you baptized till you look like a prune, you won't be saved. That water can't save you. Just carrying a black book, getting your hair cut won't save you. It'll take Jesus in your heart if you get saved. I got to go on. The tares. Then he says it's a time that this time we live in, this business we're about, he says there's a hidden treasure, In verse 31, he talks about the grain of mustard, a little grain that produces a big tree. You know, some of the most unlikely candidates I think about in my ministry, those who I remember losing sleep over a family. That woman was a devil. She proved herself later. But I remember losing sleep. That issue of baptism came up. I saw the fire in her eyes. Man, I was romancing that family. They were romancing me. We had a wonderful thing going on, but suddenly, it was over. Man, I lost a week of sleep. I just couldn't hardly bear the fact that we couldn't get them into our church, and they'd be part of our church. About 2 months later, I was so glad they weren't part of my church. I was so glad, Brother Don, that I was not responsible for the actions of that family. Hey, your preacher is responsible for your soul. He'll give an account to God for what you do. He said, I've got a little old fellow up there in Texarkana. I talked to him this week. I gave his wife a tract. He was a lost Roman Catholic boy. He had become disillusioned because he saw the drunken priests in his life. I gave his wife a tract out at the job one day, and it laid on their shelf for over a year. One day his little girl wanted to go to church. And she said, where are we going to go? He said, well, I don't know. He said, I'm not going back down there to their Catholic church. And she said, well, I don't. She said, I got a paper over there the guy out at the plant gave me. And so they drove by the church and scoped us out and decided they'd try it. 2 weeks later, old Dave got saved. You look at old Dave, you wouldn't think there's anything there. The first thing they did is they traded their car for a van so they could haul kids to church. They paid the price. About a year later, he came and he said, "Brother Wayne, we're going to have to leave the church." Oh, my heart was crushed again. I couldn't sleep again. I said, "Dave, why?" He said, "Brother Wayne, my whole family's lost. They moved back to Erie, Pennsylvania to lead his family to the Lord. And by the way, they led his family to the Lord. His mom and his daddy are dead now, but they're in heaven because Dave had a burden about his... Hey, he was serious about the business. Long story short, old Dave's pastoring a church up here in Texarkana now. I talked to him the other day. They had 130 last Sunday. He was walking around on air and shouting their victory. But hey, he's paid the price. He's been 30 years getting where he's at. If you'd have looked at Dave and picked it out, hey, I had some great prospects. I had 17 preacher boys in my church. If you'd have looked at old, Dave wasn't one of them. Dave was a carpenter. He did the patching and the plumbing around there. But out of them all, there's where the tree's growing up there. It was a little seed, but it's got to be a big tree now. There's a lot of folks under the shade of that tree. That's the mustard seed. Then there's the leavening. I don't have time to deal with it, but leaven is always a type of sin. And he said a little leaven leavens a whole lump. And he said there's some leavening in the church. Be honest about it. You know some hypocrites in the church. You know some folks that are playing the game, but they're not walking the walk. They can talk a little bit, but they're not walking. That's the nature of this day we live in. He said, when that day draws nigh, the love of many will wax cold. I got to go on. The leavening. I hope you're not part of the leavening. Hope you're getting sold out. This meeting is about selling out. It's not about the... it's about the missionary. But if you go to Acts chapter 13, I wanted to preach on it. I don't guess I'm going to get there. I'll just give you this much of it. They were already fasting and praying and seeking the will of God when God said, "Separate me!" And He took the two best they had in that church. And guess what they did? They sent them out. The church sent them out. The church took care of business. They prayed for them and they supported them and sent them out. The next verse says, the Holy Ghost sent them. When the Holy Ghost gets in it, He's going to use His church. That's what I'm saying. The leavening, the mustard tree, then there's the hid treasure. I love this. I wish I had time. See, somebody wants to say this hidden treasure is us finding Jesus. I want to say it's Jesus finding us. See, that verse said He went and sold all He had. If I had time, I'd go to Romans chapter 3, but I'm not going there. He said when He couldn't figure out what else to do, you read those first three chapters of Romans, he's going to declare the ungodliness of the perverts. He's going to declare the ungodliness of the Pharisees. And then He's going to declare the ungodliness of people all over this world. Anybody, whoever that, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When He gets through with all that, in chapter 3, about 24, He's going to say, but He hath made Him, Jesus, to become the propitiation. That is the only sacrifice that satisfies God, that propitiating sacrifice, that sacrifice that buys me back. That blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the sufficient sacrifice for my sin and your sin. He sold all He had and went and bought the treasure. I don't know why He'd buy. I was thinking about what a motley crew we are. And none of us got anything to brag about. I don't know why God would choose us, but He did choose us. I don't know why God would give His own Son for us, but He did that. He loved us enough that He paid the price. I don't know why Jesus would pour His blood out for such as we are. But He did that.
Yes, sir.
And He bought us. Hey, this church is a bought church. Bought by the blood of... Then there's the pearl. The pearl, the picture of the church in this age. Then there's the last one, and that is the net that was full of all, that was casting the seed and gathered every kind. There's good fish, bad fish. There's crabs and pinching, stinging rays and all kinds of stuff in that net. There's some folks that'll hurt you in that net. But there is some good fish.
Yes, amen.
And He said, we'll sort them out. That's the day we live in, my friend. That is the business we're in. Somebody said, man, I just couldn't go to Zambia. I couldn't take my family over there. With God's help, you could. In God's will, you could. If your heart is humble before Him, if you've got a broken heart. I watched our missionary. Brother Tom, you blessed my heart this morning. I watched that missionary pour his heart out about those folks that he's ministering to. Boy, it thrills me when a missionary, don't get up here and try to preach. Get up here and give us your burden. Tell us what's on your heart. Tell us why. Tell us why we ought to support you. Tell us what it is about what God has done in you that makes you want to go there. He gave us His heart. Hey, I'm in your corner, Brother Tom. You sold me this morning. Thank God for a missionary who's doing mission work with a heart for God. Well, it's an urgent business, and there's the nature of the business. But it's the church's business. See? He said, go into all the world. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. All power. Power for going. Power for teaching. Power for baptizing. Fire for winning souls. Power for staying. Dr. David Livingston. I've read three of his biographies. He's one of my heroes. If I could ever go to England, I want to go where he was buried. I want to stand there and look at him. They found Livingston down in the deep jungles of the Congo, 1,000 miles from anywhere. By the time he found him, Livingston had lost all of his teeth because of malnutrition. He was nothing but skin and bones. He was diseased and sick. Stanley gathered up the books. He said, Dr. Livingston, come out with me. He said, this book will make you the hero of England. He said, you'll be able to speak anywhere you want to speak. We'll get you dates all over the country. And he said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm staying here. God put me here. I'm staying here. He said, how can you stay? You're going to die here. He said, because I have the word of my Savior. He has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he said, Stanley, it's the word of a perfect gentleman, and he won't break his word. Have you got it down? Our God is able to deliver us. Our God is able to supply. You look at Hebrews chapter 11, those heroes of the faith. They didn't one of them receive. What they did is they had the promise of God and they went to a land they didn't know of. They went to a place that was not made with hands. They went looking for something that God had promised them. And the Bible says they did not receive it, but they were faithful where they were sent. Question, church. What are you going to do about His business? He's called you to the church. Hey, He saved us. He didn't save us for padded pews. He didn't save us for air conditioning. He didn't save us to come in once a week and hear our preacher grind out corn. So we, my grandma used to talk about how they fed the babies before blenders, Gerbers. And they would take that food and put it in their mouth and chew it up. I know this sounds bad. And put it back in the spoon and then feed the baby. Hey, if all the Bible you're getting is off that pulpit, your preacher's already chewed it, spit it back before you ever got a hold of it. You need to get some fresh corn for yourself. You need to chew something up for yourself. You need to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow there. You need to get a hold of God for yourself. Wonderful to talk about Livingston, but Livingston died 100 years ago. Oh, 150 maybe. What about today? What about right here? Across the street, around the world. Brother John, why don't you just sing it again for our invitation. Get ready for that. Let's stand. Father, I pray, God, that you've had your way here tonight. Pray, Lord, that you'd just take charge of us. Help us, oh God, to realize who we are and who you are, what you've done for us, allowing us to be not just saved, but, Lord, we're part of your church. We're a part of the great business that you have placed before us, winning souls around this world and across the street. Oh, God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, we can't do it in ourselves. We couldn't do it if we tried to do it by ourselves. But, God, we just want to trust you. You said you'd never leave us or forsake us. You said your power would be sufficient for us to go in and do in and teach in. And, Lord, help us to cast ourselves on you tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll have your way with us. Help us to be that peculiar people that you have separated to yourself to do your work. Not the wise, not the mighty, not the mobile, but, Lord, the weak, the foolish, the despised, the nobodies, nothings, that we might just give you all glory in our lives, and the work that was done would be done in a way that you only could get glory. Now, Lord, I just ask you to take charge. Thank you for the message. Thank you for answering my prayer for the message. Lord, you know where I was at. But, oh God, I pray that you'd take charge now in the hearts of your people. Thank you for Metropolitan Baptist Church. Thank you for a local New Testament church. Thank you for a church that you've called out. Thank you for a church with a mission. Thank you, oh God, for the burden that you have placed on hearts. And God, I pray that you'd stir it up in our people tonight. Lord, please take charge of us. I love this church. Love this people. I pray, God, that you'd make us more than we've ever been, more than we ever thought we'd be, more than we believed we could be. God, I just pray that you'd do your work in us. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sing it, brother. While Brother John's singing, why don't you just pray? If God spoke to your heart, He's all. You can come. You can meet with the Lord here. You can let that blood be washed over you again. You can get ready to do His work. You can ask Him for power and expect that He'll deliver. Somebody needs to come and say, I just need to be saved. I want to be a part of His church. Somebody needs to come and say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me a place of service in your great church. The kingdom work. The gospel. Preaching the gospel. Telling them about Jesus. While He sings, why don't you come?
There's a call going out across the land in every nation. a call to all who swear allegiance to the cross of Christ. A call to true humility, to live our lives responsibly, to deepen our devotion to the cross at any price. Let us then be sober, moving only in the Spirit, as aliens and strangers in a hostile foreign land. The message we're proclaiming is repentance and forgiveness, the offer of salvation to the only dying of man. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of the mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. As a candle is consumed by the passion of the flame, spilling light unsparingly throughout a darkened room, let us burn to know Him deeper than our service flaming bright. We'll radiate His passions and blaze with holy light. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of the mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of the mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name.
Amen. Mission has not changed. It's still our business. Are we taking care of business? Might it be our prayer, Lord, take possession. Take possession of us. That indeed we wouldn't be caught up with the foolishness. We're caught up in so many things, beloved, these days. Oh my, we just get consumed with Christ. Consumed with Him and all the foolishness, all the games, all the fun and foolishness of this world was be so quickly dissipated. But Jesus is our business. While lives are perishing, we're fooling around. We're playing games. So many churches today, preachers are more worried about being cool than they are Christ-like. It's ridiculous. When are we going to get serious about Jesus? About our Savior, the one that died for us. Well, beloved, it's been good. Thank you, Brother Hudson. Thank you for being obedient. Thank you for looking to God for the message for us tonight. Well, church, be mindful 9 o'clock in the morning. And then again tomorrow night at 7, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock, Saturday night. Just so we don't forget, okay? We love you. You have a great evening. Get some rest. Be back in your place tomorrow. Father, we love you. We thank you for your good grace to us. Lord, I'm grateful for your mercy to visit us this evening. Thank you, Father, for not passing us by, but giving us a word from yourself for your glory, for your honor, but Father, of course, for our good. And Lord, I pray that it would not easily pass by, but that we'd allow it to take root and bring forth that fruit to life everlasting. And Father, again, we look forward to what you yet have for us. Lord, the cause of Christ, that we would take ownership in your mission to share the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, to share Jesus. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.